Today's broadcast is brought to you in part by Corporate Capital Direct. Listen, banks are not lending, and the online lenders may not tell you all you need to hear to make the right decision for your company needs. Get the inside edge for business financing. Whether you have capital needs for inventory, payroll, general operating expenses, or even to consolidate expensive debt or tax issues, Corporate Capital Direct can help you avoid common mistakes when seeking a capital solution for your business. Never upfront fees. Get the inside edge for your business financing needs. Call Corporate Capital Direct at 800-261-6478 or go to corpcapdirect.com. Again, call Corporate Capital Direct at 800-261-6478 or go to corpcapdirect.com.
Welcome to Legal News and Review, recipient of the Florida Bar Award of Excellence, and featuring Michael Santucci, co-chair of the Intellectual Property Division of the Broward Bar. From the law firm of Santucci Priori, practicing intellectual property, business, and entertainment law and litigation, located in downtown Fort Lauderdale. Legal News and Review, the only real problem solver radio program using the law, with your moderator, Philip Bell, and hosts and legal panel attorney, Gary Singer, chair of the Broward County Bar Association's Real Property Section. Gary Singer is board certified in real estate law and a syndicated columnist from the Sun Sentinel. He is an expert in his field of practice. Now, here's your moderator, Philip Bell.
On the docket for today's broadcast, attorney ethics in the practice of law. And we're featuring Anthony Gonzalez, board certified in civil trial law, adjunct professor at Nova Southeastern University Shepherd Broad Law Center. Also, he is an editor of Florida Bar's Professional Liability Lawyers in Florida Manual, the fourth edition. Anthony, who likes to be called Tony, is a partner in Carmen, Beecham, Sang, and Gonzalez. I'd first like to welcome and introduce our legal panel host, Gary Singer, who is a board-certified attorney in real estate law, but also a syndicated columnist from the Sun Sentinel and chairs the real property section for the Broward Bar. Good afternoon, Gary.
Hey, Phil. How you doing? I used to be a partner at Do We Cheat Him and How.
Sweetly. And I forgot to mention, you do so many things, Gary. You also own Gibraltar Title, and that's one of the oldest title companies in the state.
You know, I also help co-host a radio show. It's on three times a week.
I heard that. I heard that from 3:30 to 4. And, of course, Michael Santucci, who is intellectual property law attorney and litigator, who was appointed and currently serves as co-chairman for the chairperson for the intellectual property law section for the Broward County Bar Association and has been quoted in TV, print, internet media. His cases have been covered worldwide by the United Press, Associated Press, New York Times, CBS, NBC News, and if I went on and on, we'd be done with the show. Good afternoon, Mike.
Thanks, Phil. How you doing? You can call me a man or a person. I'm fine with either one.
Well, it's good to see you in men's clothes today.
Yes, sir.
Let's not forget a criminal defense attorney.
The purple shirt is a little questionable, right? I mean, come on.
Took me a second I'll admit on that one, Phil. Yes. It's pretty good, man.
Well, thank you.
That was good.
I like that you zinged back. Very good.
I give as good as I get. Gary Ostro, who, you know, has been defending the accused both state and federal courts for any criminal offense ranging from homicide, manslaughter, white-collar offenses, drug trafficking. This attorney has over 500 jury trials to his credit. Gary Ostro practice does focus on the Fourth Amendment issues as related to search and seizure, as well as federal civil rights cases against police officers, as well as the departments in the city which they operate. Gary, good afternoon.
Hey, good to be here, Phil. Thanks.
Real privilege to have you.
Gary, have you ever appeared in the World Court before The Hague?
I have an appointment.
Okay. When you get there, then I'll be impressed.
I'm going to keep my appointment with you.
It is every lawyer's responsibility for observance of the rules of professional conduct.
Is him giving me a dirty look, does that count as a violation of
that
professional
conduct? That could be. but
you know, I got the stink eye big time right there.
But a lawyer.
You know I want to be on the World Court.
Why should this show be different from any other show?
Well,
guys,
that's,
like,
that's what you say at Passover.
Exactly.
Why is this night different from any other
night?
Yeah.
I'm well aware of the Passover.
Why is this show different?
You're making me feel like Rodney Dangerfield. I'm getting no respect.
But I respect you, Phil. In all
seriousness, lawyers should aid in the securing their observance by other lawyers, neglect of their responsibilities that compromise the independence of profession and the public interest it serves. Anthony, Tony?
Tony.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Phil.
Appreciate you hanging out for the second part.
My pleasure.
And which just was not enough time. I didn't realize the depth of this issue regarding ethics within the practice of law, but not just with the attorney-client privilege aspect, with attorneys, how they treat each other.
I love this topic. Yeah, we can go three sessions on this one.
Yeah, so. This is a cocktail party conversation.
Exactly. This is what lawyers talk about when we get together privately,
right.
As we talk about who's a jerk and who went out of their way to be really accommodating and who's a true professional, who knows how to fight fair and who hits below the belt.
And this subject isn't only limited to lawyers. I mean, let's face it, we all talk about the judges, and I'm not going to name any right now and be politically correct, but people have certain things to say about judges. There are criminal judges that don't grant Fourth Amendment motions to suppress. They just, historically, some have been on the bench for decades and are known to have never granted a motion. I guess in their venue, they've never had an argument that had merit ever where a police officer violated the Fourth Amendment because they've never granted a motion. So this carries over, and that, to me, it's just as important how...
Judges are lawyers, too, right?
Of course they are.
You know who no one gossips about? Bailiffs. Never heard bailiffs.
No, actually, in the criminal arena, the bailiffs are pretty much, we bond with them because they're always looking out for us and we hang out with them.
Well, talking about judges, as you know, we had Judge Levinson in to fill in as for legal panel host, and he spoke very highly of you, Gary Ostro.
Well, I wanted to tell my story again.
Again?
Because
got to tell it in front of him, right in front of him.
I did. I'm going to tell it again because it's that good, but I had a drug trafficking case in front of him. It was a kilo case, and it was a 15-year minimum mandatory state case, and he was just got out of he was one of his first trials as a judge in the circuit court of Broward County, and he had it out for my guy. I just felt that, you know, he revoked his bond 2 days before trial because my guy was late. He called, he had a flat tire, he did everything he could, but Judge Levinson felt it was appropriate, and I guess it was, to revoke his bond and, you know, and take him in, remand him to custody during the trial. He wasn't going anywhere, but that's what Judge Levinson felt he should do. To make a 4-day trial short, I asserted an entrapment defense, and the jury came back not guilty on the kilo. They found an ounce, which is 28 grams, in his car incident to that arrest, which is a 3-year mandatory. My guy had no prior criminal history whatsoever. So he had the 15 mandatory for the kilo if he was convicted, which he was acquitted of, and they came back on the ounce, which is a 3-year min-man, with that prior. So we're at sentencing, and Judge Levinson gave him 15 years on the ounce. I'm going, what am I missing, Judge? This is a first offense. The jury spoke. He was acquitted of the 15-year minimum mandatory. I feel like the court's imposing that same sentence that would have been imposed had he been convicted. It's a legal sentence for the court to do that. It's a first-degree felony. He could have given him up to 30 years. And I told Judge Levinson to his face, and with all due respect, that I felt that was inappropriate. And that's just one of the things that's been bothering me for many years. The guy's in.
He remembered the case.
Sentence. Of course he remembers.
How long ago was it?
Because Denise Nooner was the prosecutor, and she's got a picture of Al Pacino from Scarface, and she's marking it as an exhibit. I said, Denise, what are you doing? She goes, I go, look at me with a straight face and tell me you're going to try to move his poster in his bedroom in his evidence that he's a drug trafficker of Al Pacino with a mound of blow in front of him. I mean, really? So things like that went on in the courtroom. No disrespect to Judge Levinson.
I know a school teacher with that picture in her
Tony,
head.
You
really? Of course. I mean, come on. Really?
Tony, as an adjunct professor and
he's a very talented actor. Let's just leave it at that.
Yes.
But part of your responsibility is teaching the students regarding ethics and procedure. Within the aspect of the practice of law. But during the break for this segment, an interesting issue came up regarding if you're in trial, can you then make a complaint against an attorney during the process?
I keep waiting for the happy ending from Gary Ostro's story. Did he get
out early?
Good behavior? What happened to this guy?
He's in his 11th year of a 15-year sentence.
Can't get out early? I thought you were good for like 3 years. You're back on the street.
No.
Mr. Ostro says that you can't. It says that you're not supposed to. I would think that he's right, but I would tell you that we do talk about those issues with the students, because I do think, as we were discussing during the break, that a lot of the students out there really do believe that you need to be mean to everybody in this business. And I find that to be just
humorous because it's not that. Well, I'll give you a prime example.
It's the opposite, really.
If you were to ask my wife, she would tell you that I'm a raving lunatic around the house, right? But if I'm in the courtroom with you and I lose to you, man, it never looks like it bothers me.
You can't show that.
Right. You're at the poker table, man. You gotta be calm about stuff.
Because if the jury's looking at you and you react to every objection that's sustained by them, you know, and you react to that, that looks weak. It looks weak, and you gotta have that poker
face. Lay people kind of portray litigators that, you know, we're fighters. That's what we do. We fight, but we're also problem solvers, you know?
Right.
And ultimately, that's more important. You know, the fighting energy is just a tool.
You know, it's a true word.
You're solving problems for people.
And my kids ask me, my daughter, who's younger than my son, who's been on the show several times now. Thanks, Phil. Ask me what I do for a living.
It was on the community show.
She doesn't really understand, you know, the concept of law yet. She's 30 years old.
What are you talking about?
She's a little slow. No, she's not. She's 8 years old. Thank you. And she doesn't really understand the concept. She's very bright and beautiful, and she's my princess. She doesn't really understand the concept of lawyers, what we do yet. So I just explained to her. I said, I help solve people's problems. And that's really what you said. It's really what we do. We're here to solve people's problems and to allow them in the civil system to not kill each other to solve their problems.
Well,
you've got to
give
them an outlet
for their
frustration.
You can't get personal. You've got to keep it professional, especially in front of a jury. Most importantly, in front of a jury, because you're going to hurt your client's cause if you're acting anything less than that.
In this business, you get paid to talk. You don't go home at the end of the day and have anything that you can say, hey, I built this. This is what I did today. It's really just that. And you don't get a lot of thanks. I mean, your client will thank you, but you know,
only the first day. Right. After that, anyone could have done it.
I got a few stories about that, but that's a great point.
Judges never come to you and say, hey, you did a nice job on that trial, right? You know, you just kind of sense that the next time you're with the judge, they might know that you know how to object or how the law works, but you're never going to get that. You're never going
to
get
that. Don't be looking for it if that's what you're trying to say.
Right.
Don't look
it's
for
not,
it.
Right.
Right.
And it's a pretty thankless job, except for my Jaguar. But it's a pretty thankless job.
But if I'm dealing with you, let's say, and I lose, I don't know if you realize, I'm sure you guys do, but some of the people out there listening, if you lose an objection or you lose a hearing and it acts like it doesn't bother you, the other side immediately thinks, what does this person know? What do they have that, you know, I can't get to them?
It just seems
aggressive, right? But also, you know, I always say when something good happens to you too, act like you've had it before, right?
Yeah, you don't react to either one.
Right.
So I tell my clients the same thing. If they're sitting there shaking their head during testimony of somebody else, the jury's looking at them, and I said you got to just sit there and look dignified and confident.
Right.
So
go ahead, Gary. Sorry.
It's really a detriment to react in any way,
right,
no matter what message you're trying to communicate.
Two rulings on objections, that's
anything that happens that deflates you, but you don't, as Tony's pointing out.
So you tell your client not to act like you're keeping score with every...
Don't react to anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, is it unethical, like, if you win an objection to pull, like, a Nelson from the sentence?
For you, it
anything
might
like
be.
That.
It's such a rare occasion for Gary Singer.
That's what I usually do in court. You get some dirty looks from the judge.
He throws a party because it happens so rarely.
But think about this way.
Sustain, sucker.
When you're busy.
In your face.
When you have...
Yes. You're like, yeah. Not coming in, is it?
Gary, did you have your prescription medication today?
No, you do that. It really throws people off. And the jury get behind you.
Right.
But you're like, hoot.
You know what you do, though?
You get them going.
You have lawyers that kind of act that way, right?
Well, you really do.
If I've got a big caseload and you do that to me, I'm thinking about your case in the shower, man, in the morning.
Yeah.
But
I'm thinking how to get you out.
Right.
The jury's also thinking, how do I screw this cocky guy?
Well, juries don't like that.
Right.
Yeah.
If they don't like a police officer, and that's how I win a lot of my cases, they turn on the officer.
Absolutely.
They're going to come back and acquit my client, not because they find he was not guilty, but more so because they don't like the officer and they think he was full of it.
You can't
fake. Yeah, people bristle. You're 100% right.
You can't fake being genuine. If you're a jerk in your whole life, you're not getting changed suddenly in front of the jury. They'll sense it, you know, you'll say something to the court or something to the court reporter, and bam, they'll see it in you, and they know how you react with other people. They're watching.
They don't
everything.
Like cockiness. If you expect, they sense that you expect a certain outcome, they're going to take it away because that's human nature.
Right.
Oh, this guy expects it. I'm not giving it to him.
Right.
So I've learned that. I think that's a huge part of trying.
Being humble.
You know what's
humility.
Is different, though,
exactly.
And we do need to talk about is that we're focusing all of our energy on the litigation bar, but half of lawyers, if not more, are transactional. transactional attorneys, and I actually, my practice straddles both doing, you know, title closings and transactions and litigating. And overall, dealing with transactional attorneys is a pleasure compared to dealing with people who are involved in litigation. And after our break, Phil, which you're going to take us out to,
absolutely,
maybe we can talk about that.
And I also want to talk about the motion to compel and how judges feel about that. And is it abused or is it needed in most cases when it's filed? Motion to compel.
What's that?
Or, what do you think it is?
Take us out, Phil.
I think he has a clue.
I think he does. You're listening to Legal News and Review, the funnest legal show program, a real problem solver broadcast. And we're talking with Tony Gonzalez, who is educating us on the standard of practice of ethics. I mean, it's every lawyer's responsibility to observe the rules of professional conduct. And we're being broadcast today on 96.9, 103.9, 740 AM, but also on iHeart Nationally, TuneIn, and iRadio Now. We're going to be right back.
Today's broadcast is brought to you in part by Corporate Capital Direct. Listen, banks are not lending, and the online lenders may not tell you all you need to hear to make the right decision for your company needs. Get the inside edge for business financing. Whether you have capital needs for inventory, payroll, general operating expenses, or even to consolidate expensive debt or tax issues, Corporate Capital Direct can help you avoid common mistakes when seeking a capital solution for your business. Never upfront fees. Get the inside edge for your business financing needs. Call Corporate Capital Direct at 800-261-6478 or go to corpcapdirect.com. Again, call Corporate Capital Direct at 800-261-6478 or go to corpcapdirect.com.
Welcome back to Legal News and Review, recipient of the Award of Excellence from the Florida Bar, featuring Michael Santucci of the law firm Santucci Priori, practicing intellectual property, business, and entertainment law and litigation, located in downtown Fort Lauderdale. Reach them at 500law.com. or 954-351-7474. To contact the legal panel hosts and guests, go online to belegalbuzz.com. Once again, here's your moderator, Philip Bell.
Hi, I'm Philip Bell. Welcome back. This is Gary Singer welcoming you back to Legal News and Review. Today we're talking to Tony Gonzalez about legal ethics. We're here with my co-host, Gary Ostro, world-famous criminal defense attorney and all-around great guy.
Who's scheduled to be in the Hague World Court.
The Hague, baby. Great attorney, great guy. Everyone around town knows him. And, of course, Michael Santucci, fantastic intellectual property and business attorney, not to mention immigration, I believe, right?
And a great guitar player.
And a great guitar player. The man's got chops.
He's going to bring his guitar next week.
I'm liking it. We can sit around and do a little singing. We wanted to talk a little bit about the differences between the litigation bar and the transactional bar. And I'm curious as well regarding Michael Santucci and dealing in the patent trademark world, whether that's a more ethical area as far as, or are the attorneys at each other's throats like they are in the general state civil?
Absolutely not. And it's
not
a
ethical,
great, it's
or
a
they're
great
not
point
mean.
You bring up. No, they're not at each other's throats. Where we'll fit in is on a big merger or acquisition. We'll be brought on as an intellectual property firm to handle the due diligence part of the transaction, where we'll inventory all the intellectual property of a tech company that's being sold, whatever. And, you know, like when you meet the attorneys on the other side of the transaction, it's kind of you introduce yourself and you're going to be working with this person for a couple months. I try to adopt that same approach when I litigate. I try to, you know, I don't do it on all my cases, but I make a point to try. I pick up the phone, introduce myself. Yeah. Hey, it's going to be nice. You know, we're going to be working together,
nice
for,
working
for a year,
together.
For a year.
I say
or
that.
Three.
I call, I do the
working
same thing.
Working together.
Right.
You know,
but
you start, you at least got to start out on a good foot.
Make the
and
effort.
You try to push it as long as you can. Things start to get adverse as you get closer to trial. People get anxiety. You know, there's less
you can,
you can compromise over, but you can take the approach that you're working together.
You got to do steps together. You got to coordinate together. It pays to be nice.
I have
and
found,
but in my experience,
federal judge, you know, I'm mostly in federal court because intellectual property. the federal judges expect out of you.
Yeah,
that
federal,
you are
federal
work
court's
together.
A little nicer. I think yes. a lot nicer to work
you
in.
You can't get away
than
with
than state court.
Less.
I prefer. I you know I enjoy being in federal court more because of that and because of the strict time frames that you can count
yeah.
on.
Yeah, you can't bring a hearing in federal court on some petty issue.
Yeah,
it's. Not Without that you can in state court either, but
you
the
can.
Federal judge, the federal judges, I don't want to say that, but maybe it's true, but the federal judges enforce the cooperation duties way more than they do in state court, and I'd like to see that all around, you know?
Yeah, which is interesting because it's such a different flavor, and the quality of a lot of our state court judges, like you were, well, talking bad about now, I'm just kidding.
No,
you were disagreeing with Judge Levinson.
Observation.
I think he's awesome, and we have a lot of great state court judges that are very intellectual, very smart, and do a good job. But even then, I really feel what Tucci is saying about that level of what the judge expects from the attorneys in federal court.
A lot more would get accomplished.
It's a lot higher. It seems like the state court judges set a very low bar for the attorneys. And I really feel, I mean, why do you think, Tony? Why do you think they do that?
Listen, when it comes to the state court judge, and well, first of all, to your point about transactional lawyers, I do think you guys are trying to get.
Oh, we work together. We got to get the deal done.
You want to get business going for
and,
us.
You know, it's funny part is too is that there's a few jerks in the transactional field, and everyone knows who they are.
Right. Well,
you know, you cringe like, ah.
You know who they are on the litigation side too. But I think the judges deal with, you know, especially state court judges. Some of them are nervous. I don't think they try as many cases as state court judges used to try, so they're a little nervous about getting overturned
maybe, yeah.
on things. And it, you know, when I was talking in the last segment about the rules and. The sanctioning that they're trying to put when I was on the committee in each of the rules, I kind of think that's also just trying to get judges to rule on things and force lawyers to communicate with each other and, you know, and, but I, this letter writing and trying to sanction each other, I think judges get
Successive.
Tired of putting up with that.
It's a diversion
yeah.
too.
From, yeah.
It takes away from
Oh, the, I deal yeah. with, you know, civil trial attorneys, even board certified, so that literally they just everything you file, they pump out a frivolous
right.
Lawsuit letter. But you know, on the flip side, you know, judges are people too; they're attorneys as well. I remember one judge in Miami who would hand out mailing labels. You'd complain in court, he'd hand out a mailing label to the appellate court saying. And raised his hands like,
right.
whatever, do what you want to do.
Yeah, those are the ones.
Here's a mailing label, appeal me.
That's
awesome. Literally would hand out mailing labels.
A trial awesome. Lawyer just wants the judge to rule.
Yes.
Yeah. Give me a ruling, right or wrong, let's
win
just
or
get
lose,
on with it.
Give
right.
it to me. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I wanna,
it's amazing how many judges won't. You
I
want to
pat Tony Gonzalez on the back, too, and my co-hosts. You know, I think we've all had big media cases, and their ethical issues that are interesting. There's a lot of fine lines between what you should say to the media,
right.
Whether it be in an initial press release that you right. send out with a complaint, or if you're just responding to the media. And some attorneys dance that line, and
right.
some
I represent
know,
the
are very conservative about it.
I represent the St. Lucie County School District, and they wind up having a lot of things published about them in the media, and then you go and you pick a jury. Last 2 weeks ago, I had a defense verdict for them. In the jury panel that we were picking, someone stood up and said they heard about something in the media. It wasn't even applicable.
They poisoned the whole panel during
poisoned
the
trial? Poisoned the whole panel, had to strike them all.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. Lost
just,
the whole day
see,
of trial
well,
on that.
I don't know if the judge was controlling the panel because maybe there's a little bit
there
of that.
Was, the instruction about had you heard anything about these hadn't been given. The person
right.
just wasn't really baited by the other attorney. It just came out.
But it blew how many hours of jury selection?
It blew a whole day,
right.
which is hard because jurors want to go home.
Yep.
You know, it makes the case more expensive as another day of trial. And that happens.
Happens
so,
a lot.
It, you know, it's difficult.
I think attorneys, two quick points. Number one, if you have a case, I think it's really important, as for our attorney listeners that may have media attention, go immediately and find a media specialist to give you some flash
yeah.
training. Because
Absolutely.
It's not something you can guess at, and it's a completely different
Well, the Broward County Bar actually has classes for that.
Yeah, media training
seminars.
Is very, very
yeah.
important. Actually, I actually heard a really good one at the last bench and bar. For it. The other half is, you know, all of us as attorneys, and I like to think that I'm a gentleman attorney. But you know what? I have days where I'm just going to be a jerk. I'm in a bad mood, and you know, it may, you know, some other attorney is going to do something that sets me
we
off.
We hope
and
we're
I'm
not defined
shoot
by our
off.
Moods.
Yeah,
one day.
And you know, and that's the thing. Sometimes, you know, I've actually called up opposing counsel and said, "Hey, man, sorry," or you know, "Hey, miss, sorry for blasting you before. You know, my dog died or whatever." You know,
how many times can your dog
days?
Die in a week, though, Gary? Come on.
I mean, I get more closure law. I have heard every excuse.
He keeps kicking him. But
you know, yeah.
We
only have 1 minute left. And,
so let me get my point out, Phil.
We think we.
Why are you stepping on me, man? You know, this is just not right, Phil.
See, he's in a bad
mood. How can you do it? My dog.
Here's a label. Go file a complaint.
There you go.
You know, Tony, you have an interesting background. You have a BA in both political science, but also criminal justice. Right. And we'd like you to hang out for the final segment this week, which is about the Stand Your Ground. That's going to be on Friday. On July 3rd, Miami-Dade Circuit Court Judge Milton Hirsch ruled the new Stand Your Ground law is unconstitutional. Would you like to hang out for that?
Not my specialty, but I'd be happy to hang out.
We'll make you an expert.
Have a BA, a dual major BA.
We can't use that word. We can't call you an expert in that field.
You got a gun on you, though.
You
packing something, though?
Hey, I have a concealed carry, if that's the question. Yeah.
There you go.
Without a doubt, though, if you didn't have a dual major BA, you never would have asked you to stay.
That's right. And plus, he's board certified in civil trial.
That's true.
Which makes him an expert.
Absolutely. It's been a real pleasure to have you on. It won't be your last
time. How do we reach Gary? How do we reach Tony Gonzalez if...
Well, you'd be nice.
I would tell you to call call the firm's number, 561-393-6335, or my very complicated email, which is A Gonzalez, A-G-O-N.
We have another 20 minutes for this?
Z-A-L-E-S, at carmanbeacham.com, carmanbeacham.com.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Let me write that down.
And it's Beacham, not Beauchamp. I just have to put that in there.
That's
spelled Beauchamp.
I read it as it said. Right, and, you know, you have a very fine firm with a great reputation. You're
Phil,
a
we're out
partner.
Of time, my friend.
Thank you.
And on that note, I want to thank our listeners for putting up with us for yet another Wednesday. And as always, folks, be legal!
You've been listening to the award-winning Legal News and Review, recognized by the Florida Bar's Award of Excellence. Legal News and Review. Featuring Michael Santucci from the law firm of Santucci Priori, located in downtown Fort Lauderdale, and practicing intellectual property, business, and entertainment law and litigation. They can be reached at 500law.com or at 954-351-7474. To contact the legal panel hosts and guests, go to belegalbuzz.com. And to reach Gary Singer, board-certified real estate and syndicated columnist, appearing in 400 media outlets, including the front page of the Money Section every Monday in the Sun Sentinel, from the law firm of Gary M. Singer, PA, call 954-851-1448. For legal news and review, remember, be legal.